Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Right now, I just want to holler at you. If you can, you want to holler back at me, you can hit me back, 646-929-2037. Once again, the holler back number, since we hollering, is 646-929-2037. Also, email me, because I know some of y'all are too shy to call. You can email me at dickandsmoothdrama.com, and I will answer your email, or if there's something that we're talking about that you find interesting and you want to add on to the conversation, email me, dickandsmoothdrama.com, or if you're actually listening to the show and you want to get in, we have the chat rooms on Blog Talk, or as I say every time, if you just so happen to be watching my face as it's made for radio, you can hit me up in the Smooth Drama TV chat room also. Now, of course, I encourage you to stalk me, and in order to keep up with what we got happening here at Smooth Drama, different events we got going on across the country, you can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411, and you'll be able to stalk me, and I'll be able to stalk you. Probably not the good kind of stalking like most stalkers like, but hey, whatever. Speaking of stalking, Hulk Hogan, who is recently got married this weekend, had a little run-in, sort of like what happened with that paparazzi run-in. He got married, and it was not a celebrity wedding where they're in this hall and it's all the glamour and glitz. It was just at the house. So, what happens? Paparazzi wants to break in and interrupt the wedding. Of course, it was in my favorite place of all time, Florida. You figure that kind of shit happens in Florida. Not that paparazzi won't bust in on you anywhere else. I mean, same thing happened to the other celebrity that I talked about who's escaping me right now. But still, what happened is they were, Hulk Hogan and his now wife, Jennifer McDaniel, were getting married at his Clearwater, Florida home, and a freelance photographer just shows up and asks to leave. He's like, nah, I ain't going nowhere. Even had the nerve to say, I'm packing a gun. And he also attacked one of Hulk Hogan's employees. These damn paparazzi. I know a lot of the paparazzi's excuses. Yeah, well, they wouldn't be famous without us. But, sometimes I know you're desperate for pictures and whatnot, but there's some things. Do you really have to have pictures of the wedding? I mean, I understand if you thought something controversial was going to go on, but are people really checking for Hulk Hogan like that? I mean, yeah, Hulk Hogan ripping off his shirt, the whole wrestling thing. Yeah, But are they really checking for Hulk Hogan's wedding like that? Where y'all got to go through and bust all up in the man's wedding procession? That's tacky. They wonder why people don't like them. Anyway, we're going to move on. I don't want to talk about paparazzi no more. I guess you want to say media person, fake media person, however you want to look at it. I call it fake celebrity, whatnot. There's reporting the story and then there's getting all up in it. And there's some places you just don't go. Or you can be a liar. Like pilot William Hammond, who is a pilot, but he also put out the claim where he was a doctor, and he was teaching doctors and pilots ways to keep hearts and planes from crashing. This dude had millions of dollars in grants, had university and hospital posts, and he worked with some of the biggest medical groups all across the country. I mean, this fool was leading a training session at an American College of Cardiology convention. I mean, this dude was all over the goddamn place. But had no medical residency, no doctoral degree, nothing. I guess he's one of them people that stayed at a Holiday Inn and was just smart. All of a sudden, and folks bought it. Now, the part that's scary is that this dude was getting millions of dollars in grants, and I mean, he was teaching doctors how to be a doctor, and he had a degree. Now, I mean, we know that in past history, I guess you can say back in the ancient days, they didn't have degrees, whatnot. So he could have been an expert, but I kind of wouldn't want to take a chance on this is the dude who is got my life in their hands, and he don't. You don't have nothing, no school or nothing. He just learned in the backyard or in his house, reading the book. Or maybe he really did stay at a Holiday Inn and he's smarter now. That's some insane shit. And what's insane is the fact that they took his word for it. I didn't know that folks would take your word for it. And just let you just walk in the hospital. I mean, because somewhere along the line, he had to just walk in and be like, yeah, I'm an expert. And they just looked at him like, yeah, you look like an expert. So you can operate on us. You can operate on people. Maybe we need to go in, and maybe that's the reason why these folks be treating you the way they treat you when you go to the clinic, hospital, whatnot. Maybe they don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know. I just find it scary that this guy, who's one of the leading people, find out that this fool has no education whatsoever. He's one of the leading cardiologists in America, though. Yep. I see the lawsuits coming now. Not that I care, because, well, I do care. But I just think it's funny. I think it's real funny. Not quite as funny as the retardation that I see in people in collecting. You know, we're collecting society. And I mean, I collect comic books. I ain't ashamed to say it. You know, I'm I'm out in the open. I've been out in the closet for a while now. I'm not a closet nerd. I am a full-time, unapologetic reader. I read comic books. I draw. I do all that nerd shit, as you call it. And I don't give a damn what you think. Anyway, collecting has gone way too far in my mind. I mean, you know, people buying the cards, the Pokemon cards, the baseball cards. It used to be you would trade that stuff, and now thousands of dollars, and in some cases millions of dollars. Like we found out last week, the rules for Naismith, the rules for basketball, sold the original written rules sold for $4.3 million. I'm like, shit, I already know the rules. Do you really have to buy them? $4.3 million? Anyway, I guess if somebody's dumb enough to want to buy it, it's worth that. Which gets me to Lee Harvey Oswald. Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged lone assassin of John F. Kennedy, the wooden coffin top that he was moved out of to another coffin, it sold for $28,000. The top of his coffin. I'm not feeling it, but you know, I guess they say, you know, people love John F. Kennedy so much, anything that had anything to do with him, people will collect it. It's a coffin top of the guy who allegedly killed him. That sold for $28,000. You want to talk about waste of money? And there's a lot of good that could have been done with $28,000. I mean, even more that could have been done for that $4.3 that they paid for the rules to basketball that we all already know. And if they didn't know, shit, for $4.30, I took a couple of minutes to tell them the rules. Much less $4.3 million. I mean, how many people you could have helped with $4.3 million? I mean, if you got $4.3 million to throw away on some rules, yeah, I don't know. I'm on the wrong planet. You talk about space aliens and needing, talking about finding space aliens and whatnot. I think I'm on the wrong planet, because when you're spending $4.3 million on some rules, $28,000 for a coffin top to a guy who tried to kill a president, that's just important. And you think about the hard times that we're experiencing, in the wrong place. On that note, I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna get my space up. This is HISD rocking, aka get your space up.
Slow down on this moonwalk, buddy.
C-shaped potatoes like baked Doc Rotten. C-faced on flyers like Dayton. trying to exhale, but they still waiting. Weight was up, faced up, changed my eating habits. We exercise daily, more brain for your cabbage. My mind stays free, it's Scotty P90. X to the next, like I put shit behind me. My own horn too, we in line with flute. The boot, bass, kick, Bobby Hump to the loop. Ear ring like hoop, this be the flaze. We the taste of Texas, expensive for your plate. New water on the rock, it's tasting so great. Seen green, not cheap, we drive by you skate. Q reflect Lando, fit Marlon Brando. Godfather with a mic, like how I handle. Man, they suck. Face up, laced up, moon water, gulp, gulp, gone off the throne in the hydrocortisone. Gliding on Drexler, 22 styrofoam. Welcome to the H's, that Mr. Poindexter. Sitting on, sipping on, ripping on cherry. Woods, that's mahogany. Sipping to the black embassy, where's equality? Follow me, feeling like a pilgrim in a colony. Board walk, board talk, building up the property. Building up monopoly, homestead raised me. Now I'm savvy franchise, but they can't trade me. Student wood made me, old colored high up from slavery. Book of Talaferro, Pop Dixie, baby. Soul in the ocean and we rocking, knocking. Pictures off the wall, painting pictures in the hall, y'all. Images fall, dawg. Face up. Got P rocking, savvy rocking, equality rocking. I'm feeling good. Rockin', King Midas rockin', Soul One rockin', you feelin' good? Flash D rockin', E-Class rockin', FD rockin', we feelin' good. I rock to the rhythm of the funky beat, skunks and heat clots, double filled on the one, are you smellin' where I'm comin' from? Pots cookin', stove top, look out for the cops, got bacon, so the hot spoons, cold veins. Cannibal locks, the right side of bad brains. Yep, that's how we rock. Hard enough to make the fiends fiend right on the spot. Right off the block that auctions off great granny and daddy. Slave to a rhythm that beat niggas and caddy. Black trunks, poop to build candy painted. My flow, Van Gogh's engine here watching me rock. Well, Norman Lear. Good times, we in no fear. Looky here, I hear.
It's our year. Go bigger than compressed thoughts into words to convict your rap. Flow steady on the one, but soon bring the synergy. Magnetic embedded four score implode melodies. Explode energies. I see IB, he running past MCs laced up, faced up. Gone off the moon, water slurring these words, but I still slaughter on snap. Filling these gaps when the mic pass, touchdown. Mother ship straight up, drift out, we out.
Bunny rockin', Hardwick rockin',
I'm feeling good.
The KO rockin', Neot rockin', Cosmos rockin',
I'm feeling good.
C-Rose rockin', King Cos rockin', Concise Kill rockin',
feeling good.
Radio Galaxy rockin', Bun B rockin',
Smoke still rockin'. Hey, space up.
Together you gotta be moving from the
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was HISD, the Houston Independent Spit District, and their song, Rockin', a.k.a. Spaced Up, off their latest album, The Weeknd. Now available for download on the internet. Anyway, Kobe Bryant. Yeah, not that people don't like him or dislike him even more or less. I guess he found a way not only to make folks in the United States. I guess people like him because they're winning again, right? I guess I ain't one of them, but that's just me. Kobe Bryant. He cut a deal with a Turkish airline. It's a 2-year endorsement deal, which has sparked protests among Armenian Americans in LA and nationwide who are threatening to boycott Kobe unless he backs out of the contract. You know, the Turkish airline, you know, is saying that Bryant is going to be their global brand ambassador. Well, the Armenians are still upset at the Turkish government because they want the United States to recognize the earlier 20th century empire, which was the Ottoman Empire, saying that they committed genocide, which they estimate was 600,000 to 700,000 Armenians. So we're at an impasse here. I mean, basically what they're saying is the Turkish government is guilty of what people are mad at the Nazis about. Remember the whole Nazi Holocaust that they talk about? Well, they're saying that exact same thing happened by the Turkish government in the early 20th century, which was the Ottoman Empire, and they want it to be recognized, and they don't feel like the Turkish government should get any love until the genocide of the Armenian people are recognized. Now, it's one of these issues that I haven't heard too much, or I haven't heard anything said about it, but it's interesting. It's like one of those things you call a conundrum, where you have a group of people who are speaking about a wrong that they want to be addressed. And they feel like until that is addressed, the government, the Turkish government going forward, should not be able to profit unless, this is rectified. Historically rectified and acknowledged the evil that was done to their people. Wow. What's going to happen? I mean, I'm sure when Kobe signed that deal, I don't think he was thinking that he was going to get caught up in the middle of an international civil war. But it's funny. Good job, Kobe. You picked the one country in the company that was going to get you in trouble with a whole group of people all across the world. PR people. That's why you pay them. But I guess, I talk about it. I hate talking about it, but you know the whole Kobe, his PR, he got some terrible PR people. To say he's a high-profile athlete, and his PR people are terrible. At the least, if you have the proper PR people, they would have kind of known a little bit about this and been like, it could have been somebody saying, hey, you know what, Kobe? I don't know, because, the people, they're trying to get this done, and there may be a backlash. I mean, it's one of them things when you sign something like that, you kind of got to have people in the know around you to know so you don't fuck up your brand. I mean, because he is a brand, like Jordan is a brand, like LeBron is a brand. You know, all these guys are brands apart within themselves. So that's not going to do good for you. I mean, your shoes wasn't selling all that well here. I guess his jersey is up now because, once again, they're winning, and I guess people love him. I could care less, but y'all know that already. And if you didn't know, you know now. But I'm thinking this is not going to be good, and if I was Mr. Bryant, I probably wouldn't go to Turkey. no time soon. I probably would have some of my people talk to those Armenian citizens in the city of L.A. and trying to squash that, because you kind of don't want fanatical folks as a block hating you, especially from over in that region. It's probably not a good idea. Not to stereotype or anything, but people from that region have been known to blow shit up or blow themselves up. Just saying. PR people, you must have them or have somebody with some kind of historical knowledge somehow, some way. Just don't make no deals with people you don't know. Anyway, speaking of bad deals, now we always talk about these so-called leaders who want to ask the people to take pay cuts and talk about restricting the budget so that we can all sacrifice and be good for the good of the people. Well, didn't quite go up in down in Waveland, Mississippi. These elected leaders who just, according to what they're reporting here last month, cut the budget, increased their own pay. So we're talking about a couple months ago, the administration voted to cut $600,000 from the city budget. Whereas now, the board aldermen approved motions to increase the salary for the mayor, David Garcia, from $60,000 to $72,000. And all the board members of the aldermen voted themselves a $1,200 pay hike. It's funny. Ask not, I believe John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. It's funny how these folks give a damn and vote me in. We gonna cut $600,000 from the city budget so that we can get it. I mean, that's basically what happened. They cut the budget so they can get it. And it's all good. I mean, this is on the local level. So you talk about corruption, because I know a lot of people think that the corruption, they say, oh, the corruption in Washington, it's so bad. This is not in Washington. This is the corruption in Mississippi, meaning it's local. And we know this kind of stuff happens all the time, but I just want to point it out, because I know a lot of people have that apathy toward power to the people. They just think, well, nothing's going to change just because nothing's going to change. But the only way it's going to change is if people band together and say, we're not going to take that shit no more. Now, obviously, we know that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's a prime example of it. Another example, we know the House and Senate passed that tax cut for everybody. But as we know, a tax cut for us means that we get an extra $1.50 a year, maybe. Whereas the rich and wealthy get to pocket millions. Probably can estimate billions on some end. And once again, people are cool with it, because I guess no big deal, because I know the prevailing logic here in the United States is, well, we don't want to mess with it because, you know, one day that could be us. We could be rich and wealthy, and then we'll lose our money. I'm not going to say how stupid that sounds. I'm just going to say it sounds stupid. Maybe there's a difference. I don't know. I guess you can figure it out. I couldn't tell you. Anyway, the other example, this is past week, the House and Senate thwarted efforts to award $250 checks to Social Security recipients who are facing the second year, two in a row, without a cost of living increase. Now, to some people look at it like, oh, $250, that's nothing. But to some people who are living on a fixed income, elderly people who don't have a chance to supplement their income, $250 is a lot of money. Shit, I don't know about anybody else, but I take $250. I don't know anybody who wouldn't take a $250 check that just came in the mail. Just saying. But you see the imbalance of thought here. You know, there's a contention of people who say that the nation can't afford the estimated $14 million cost of the payment. But they can vote themselves a tax cut, which conceivably, we're not even going to say conceivably, because we all know that that would have covered the cost. So you see where the thought process is. Fuck y'all poor. We don't give a damn. And what's galling is the fact that they say, well, the GOP blocked it. But as we know, and it's one of those things that I try to stress time and time again, there's a Democratic majority still. It's lame duck, but it's still a majority nonetheless. If they really wanted to pass it, it could have passed just by all Democrats voting for it. But all Democrats didn't vote for it. See, this is that misleading fact that they put out there day after day after day, where folks is just thinking, oh, when it's liberals is trying to do this, and it's conservatives trying to, nah. They all working together, because the tax cut for all of them passed, but the money for some poor old folks didn't. Do the math. They came together to vote to keep their money, and they so-called split to make sure that these elderly could not get money. Is it a mystery? It's not a mystery to me. Well, now, whether or not folks think that kind of stuff is important or not, I kind of think it is. I'd like to think some other folks thought that type of shit was important. Because it is. And you have to make that distinction. Because the stuff, healthcare, all this other stuff, there was a Democratic majority, but they couldn't pass healthcare. You can say all that the Republicans tried to block this and the Democrats, no. It's a Democratic majority. It could pass if they wanted it to, but they put the fake fights out there like, oh, this party is doing this and this party is doing that. They do it year after year after year. when are y'all gonna put on the glasses, bust out the matrix, and see that that shit is all a game and it's all a lie? I mean, am I the only one that see it? I hope not. I'm just saying. On that note, yeah, I'm just a little, I don't understand it. I'm depressed, so I'm going to go to my homie's House of M. This is the feeling, so I can kind of get that feeling back. I know it's corny, but I need to get the feeling.
Do you remember that feeling? This is how hip-hop used to make you feel, especially back then. It was so real. It was like air. You remember how you felt the first time you heard the bridge go?
Oh.
The first time?
Yeah.
I don't have that feeling anymore.
As the moonlight is glistening above Lake Michigan, I'm sitting with my pen and pad trying to reminisce again. But this time I'm reflecting on the music and the reason why I love it and I gravitated to my journey started in my big mama's basement, freestyling with my cousin with the Bone Thugs taping. I zoned out, can't remember what I was saying, but it must have been great by the look on their faces. It gave me the feeling I could only describe as ascended to the sky on a natural high. At lunch table, cypher spitting it with some of my guys, listening to Biggie instrumentals, learning to write. I was a hooper, but I pushed the basketball to the side. Forget Mike, really, I was trying to be like Tribe, yeah. And since then, I've been hugging the mic. Hip hop is the love of my life. We about to take it to the top, y'all.
You know, you live for the love of music.
I listen video, but on radio waves. The wish kind of blind, that's the way it stays. So you can be the Viper, pick a pepper, then whole hey, hey. Nowadays I got this to say. See every other rapper do the same old thing. Microphone check, one, two, blank, blank. Claiming you a hustler, then elevate the game.
Yo, I used to love him, he was way too fresh. Not cause he was so hood or the way he dressed. He had a fat gold chain and some Adidas. Stayed hungry for the fame and the real success. Yes, see, he would always seem to hold me down when them R&B niggas was out of town. He said, I need love, so we put it down. I'm here to resurrect the feeling.
I love you. You know we do it for the love of music.
Pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park, to the lunchroom table where the phone gets sparked. Come on, get in your stance, cause this pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park, to the lunchroom table where the phone gets sparked. It's like.
Together you got it.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was House of M. The feeling. I got a little feeling back. That kind of pumped me up. I'm good to go now. Kind of. Got me going, got the juices flowing. And if you're flowing with me, you want to holler at me, you can give me a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, call number 646-929-2037. And if you want to comment on anything that I talked about so far or something you want to bring up, email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. I got you. Speaking of being fired up, yes, somebody finally read the stereotype Bible and decided KFC they decided they're gonna target Africa and they're gonna double the amount of its fast food chains in Africa over the next 3 years. And KFC's projected they wanna get up to $2 billion and they're gonna reach that goal by bringing more KFC to Africa. It took them to 2010 to realize that black folks like chicken. I'm sorry. Oh, they say, well, Africa is exploding with opportunity. And Yum Brands Incorporated, yes, that's really the name, Yum Brands Incorporated, they plan to go from 600 to 1,200 restaurants by 2014. And they say by doing that, they will double their revenue on the continent to $2 billion. So I guess right now that $1 billion, they looking $2 billion. KFC, coming to an African country near you. Can't wait, can you? I'm like, KFC there. What's up with churches and Popeyes? Y'all hating on Africa? Are you afraid you have to paint Popeye black? I don't know. Oh, well. Not gonna go there. Oh, anyway. Yeah, I was talking about protesting a little bit earlier and how we need to get all these politicians whatnot for what they do and how they treat the common man. I guess we can take a little lesson from the homies in Germany. Yes, in Germany, what they do, there's a particular group who call themselves the Hedonist International. And what they decided to do was to protest the rising cost of rents in Berlin. What they do is they see an apartment that they believe is priced too high. They set up an appointment to view it. And then at some point during the viewing, they put on masks, strip naked, and start having a dance party. Now, I mean, we know that this is something that only happens in Europe, because you couldn't imagine nothing like that happening here in America without somebody getting shot somehow, some way. And just the fact that that you have somebody, you imagine you're showing the apartment, and then all of a sudden everybody throws on a mask and they just start dancing with each other naked. I can throw you off your game a little bit. I know it would throw me off mine. I don't know about anybody else. Oh, man. Oh, but I guess that would be good to have the video. How come stuff like this never gets on America's Funniest Home? Well, I guess the world's funniest home video. I mean, because that's like a legitimate protest. Although, the whole, I don't know where the naked comes in. I mean, because your protest, I don't think folks are going to bring the price down because you was dancing naked in the apartment, although it may bring the property values down, depending on how you look naked. But that's a whole nother story. Oh, well, we're going to get off naked people in Europe. We're going to we gonna concentrate on naked people right here in America. And Whitefish Bay mail carrier is Whitefish Bay is in Wisconsin. He had noticed that there was a woman who was working in the office by herself. I guess it was normal according to her. And what happened is it was a delivery. I mean, he's a postman. Postmen make deliveries, right? We know this. Well, at the end, he was to deliver to her, and, you know, they were talking and whatnot. We don't know what they were talking about, but at the end of the route, he offered her a favor. He told her that he'd go get the mail from the P.O. box, and he'll knock on the door when he's back with the mail. That's what the female said. Only thing is, when he returned and knocked on the door, he burst into the door with the mail, but he was butt naked. And I can already tell you, you know, female, I know it's not your fault. As you know, there's been folks who make that argument that she was asking for it, whatnot, because you wear the provocative clothes, whatnot. But I can tell you, you don't tell a man you're gonna do it. You don't get a favor from a man and expect him not to want a favor back. Yeah, kind of, you know, the favor type deal. And more than likely, this idiot was one of them people who took, well, mistake her kindness for she's by herself, she wants to have sex with you type, you know, because folks can get them signals that they're stupid like that. And I'm going to take an educated guess or an uneducated one because we actually don't know the conversation. But just the fact that he got naked, and we're talking about he's a postman, and he got naked outside, and he walked up to the to the door butt naked, that's a badass, crazy-ass man. That's a crazy-ass dude. I guess now you go to jail. You have plenty of time to be naked. You don't have to knock on no doors, though. I'm sure people will try to be knocking on his. That's nasty. Anyway. Speaking. I'm in the gutter tonight. I don't know why. But stuff like that. Just stupid people. You got to talk about stupid people. And just to always say, you got to make the... Y'all make a differentiation between idiots and how they act and how normal people are supposed to act, because this individual is an idiot. Getting naked, delivering the mail, you're not smart. That's what it is. Sort of like this grandma in Idaho. Sad idiot, though. This grandma in Idaho who was accused of beating and severely neglecting her twin granddaughters stood before a judge and asked to be let out of jail to take care of her pets and her overdue library books. I'm going to say her name, Ruth Cassidy, just in case my homies up in Idaho, you know who you are. You up in Idaho and you run across a woman, Ruth Cassidy, she kind of crazy. And she beats on her grandkids. Anyway, Ruth Cassidy asked for mercy, not not because she wanted to make amends and take care of her grandkids, but so that she could take care of her pets. And overdue library books. Now, yeah, of course, there's some people who say this is the end of the world. And when you hear about stories like this, and the one before, the dude showing up naked to deliver the mail, you think, wow. Library books that are due, and my pets. See, and that's the other thing. I mean, I don't have nothing against animals. Lord knows I don't. I mean, you know, people who have pets, more power to you. But the people who love their pets over human beings, and I understand maybe you don't know these other human beings, so you may have more of an attachment to your pets than a human being. But still, you know, you can treat people like shit, but you love your dogs and your cats. I don't feel that. I don't understand it. I never understand it. I mean, you figure that if you can have some compassion for the animals, you can have some compassion for the humans. I don't understand, y'all. I'll never get it. How you going to love one? You can have so much love. Because you see these people with their pets, you're like, damn, they must be nice people. But, and this is not to all pet owners, because I don't know, there's some pet owners who are nice people, who are genuinely nice people. But then you got them other folks. You know, them Peter-like folks. And, you know, they take the love for animals way too far. They'll wreck your shit or throw some paint on your coat because of an animal that it came from. I can tell you that if I'm wearing my warm coat that I bought and I paid for with my money and you throw some paint on it, I'm beating your ass. I'm really seriously going to beat your ass. I'm saying this on national, international radio. Do not throw some paint on my shit. Not that I'm just saying, I don't have no exotic fur coats or anything like that. But if I did, it's because it keeps me warm. I don't that whole I'm gonna wear something that costs me $8,000 to keep me warm, and I can get something that costs me $80 to keep me warm. That's where I'm at. But once again, that's neither here nor there. The people like this, Ruth Cassidy of the world, treat her own granddaughters like shit. I mean, when the police got there, the girls were covered in bruises and shit. Literal shit. Because she wasn't taking care of them. But she wants to get out to take care of the pets in the library books. I can't get past crazy folk like that. I don't understand them. Will never understand them. Kind of scary. Really, really. Really scary. Now, I read somewhere where there's a supposed cure for HIV. And they say that there was a man who was cured by stem cell transplant. And he got this stem cell transplant in 2007. Timothy Ray Brown, HIV positive man living in Germany, had leukemia, was undergoing chemotherapy. He received this transplant of stem cells from a donor who was carrying a rare inherited gene mutation that seems to make carriers virtually immune to HIV infection. Now, they say the transplant appears to wipe out both diseases. You know, I mean, got rid of leukemia and HIV. Now, of course, what do the doctors say? And we're going to quote the doctor, Dr. Anthony, and I can't pronounce his last name right. I know I'll mess it up. Don't care. Fauci, whatever. He's the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, who's been studying it for almost 30 years, said, "While this is an interesting proof of concept, it's absurdly impractical. It's hard enough to get a good compatible match for a transplant like this, but you have to find a compatible donor that has this genetic defect, and this defect is only found in 1% of the Caucasian population and 0% of the black population. This is very rare." So basically, what he's saying is, we have to find this 1% of the white population. We just, you know, for those people who are HIV positive, you find out what the name of this recessive depressive defect is. Maybe now we know why people are like kidnapping white people all over the world. It's not terrorists. It's so they can cure HIV. So actually, the kidnappings are for the betterment. No, but I think it's funny that he finds the cure, but it's almost like he's pissed. Like, shit, it worked. Because I'm gonna take an educated guess again that the majority of the medical establishment, the FDA, people like that, are not happy that he found the cure and was sharing it, because as we know, there's no money in the cure. The money's in the re-up. Right? Right. So, of course he's going to downplay it. There's no money in it. No money whatsoever. Stay tuned. But I'm saying, people out there with HIV, research it. You know, now you might want to start, might be open season on that 1% white people who have that rare defect. Get yourself checked out. If you had that defect, you might want to disappear. They're coming for you. Anyway, real quick, I want to talk about and say my condolences to Monique Nelson, 30 years old, who was shot and killed at a Sacramento strip mall because of ignorant motherfuckers shooting at each other at a damn barbershop. When are we going to stop this shit? I mean, and the fact is that, once again, you motherfuckers didn't kill each other. Y'all kill an innocent woman. You know, if you're going to do the whole crime and kill each other black on black, kill yourselves. Kill each other. Don't kill the wrong people. Kill the right people. Learn to shoot. Dumb bastards. On that note, I'd like to thank y'all for listening. And sad shit. Hate to hear that. I'm Dick Hugger. Smooth Drama. I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.